First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome everyone to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, happily filling in for Alan today, who is on assignment. And Alan would like you to know that his motto still is, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Well, we're going to just zoom right ahead with our very first guest today, and that is, we have the founder of SaveTheWest.com, a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself. He's the author of The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. His name is Ken Abramowitz, and we have him right now. Hi, Ken. Thanks for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Sure. Great to be with you.
Good to have you. So Israeli defense minister is currently saying that they're going to defend themselves after the deaths of hundreds of Syrian civilians by jihadist government. Unpack that for us, if you will, please, and that should start our conversation.
Well,
that's a biggie, everyone, right?
Yeah, sorry. Everyone in the Middle East is a bad guy. So it's just a question of which bad guy do you want to talk about today? So looking at Syria, the bad guys, offshoot of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and aided by Turkey, a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, have basically invaded central and southern Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate, like a typical Muslim group, they hate everybody else. So they hate the, and Syria is full of minorities. So they hate the Alawites, which are about 10% of Syrian population. They hate the Kurds, which is about 30% of the population. And they hate the Druze, which is about a little less than 5% of the population. So so they're basically on a killing spree to kill everyone who doesn't think like them. Now, the Kurds generally can defend themselves. That's a third of the country in the east. In the Druze, which is a little less than 5% of the population, basically Israel has promised to defend the Druze. But there's no one defending the Alawites, so that's why they're killing the Alawites.
You know, I want to go back to recent history here. We just got through with an administration, namely POTUS 46 administration, which we still don't know who is actually in charge. Who am I wrong in thinking that our administration, the previous one, actually forced Assad out? Assad was no great shakes, but we always seem to have the choice between a bad guy and a much, much worse guy. And it seems as if our administration was pushing for the much, much worse guy. Am I wrong on that?
Well, a little bit. The Assad was a bad guy. And he was Alawite, which is Shiite, which is the minority of Muslims. And he was pushed out by the Sunnis, which is the majority of Muslims. Now, they're both bad guys. The difference is that Assad was connected, was an ally of Iran. So we, America, we, the West, wanted to get rid of Iran's ability to take over the Middle East. And so that I would say it's good that Assad was pushed out, and it was good that the relationship between Syria and Iran ended. So that's the good news. The bad news is now the Sunnis are filling the void, and they're bad guys too. So I would say it's a net neutral for the West. You know, you just replaced not that we replaced it, the people on the ground replaced bad guy with another bad guy. And so now, from Israel's point of view, they're both bad guys. But in the vacuum, you know, there's no such thing as vacuums in the Middle East. They last for like 3 seconds. So in the vacuum, Israel basically invaded southern Syria and captured it for protection for Israel and protection for the Druze. An offshoot of Islam, Druze in southern Israel. So in southern Syria. So in that sense, I guess Israel's a little bit better off because it has control over southern Syria.
Could there be, now that there's a change of regime in Syria, could there be a conflict brewing between Syria and Iran since the leader is no longer Alawite? But is Sunni?
Yes. So there's not going to be any positive relationship between Syria and Iran. So in that sense, Syria, Iran is out of Syria. Now, Iran was supporting Lebanon, and now we can't resupply Lebanon. So that's also good for Israel that Iran cannot resupply Lebanon. So all of this is bad news for Iran. And Iran's a mortal enemy of America and Israel, so I guess you could say it's good, so to speak.
Right. We're talking to Kenneth Abramowitz, founder of SaveTheWest.com. It's such a chess game over there, right? you know, you either have people hurting each other or hurting. It's really a chess game, and those people who are such knee-jerk protesters, for example, American skulls full of mush on college campuses who protest in favor of Hamas, they don't seem to have a remote clue of what's going on. If people a lot more educated are going, I don't know if I'm qualified enough to really get into this. What do you think about that? That's going on right now.
Yeah. It's simple and complicated at the same time, but I'll try to make it simple. The war has been going on for 1,400 years. Yeah, people think like the war started, did it start a month ago or 3 months ago? The war has been going on 1,400 years since roughly the year 630, when Muhammad passed away and his followers made the decision to take over the world. And he had two followers. He had the majority, the Sunnis, and the minority, the Shiites. Both of them independently made the decision to take over the world and then went on a killing spree and they illegally left Saudi Arabia, invaded 55 mostly Christian countries, which no one remembers because it was 1,400 years ago, and basically slaughtered the Christians all over the place and took over 75% of the Christian world. And now the Christians are now fighting for their lives in Europe, as a result, the Muslims have been trying to take over Europe for 1,400 years. So this is really just a continuation of the Islamist goal to take over the world and kill all Christians, Jews, and Hindus. So in that sense, nothing's changed for 1,400 years.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? And then we're going to go to your book in our last couple of minutes, so we have to really rush. That to say what you just said is considered anti-Islam To state what you just stated is considered you're Islamophobic, right? Even though all the actions point to exactly what you're saying.
And also they say it. You know, it's not like it's my analysis.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say what they're really saying. You're only allowed to apologize for them. Right. Talk about this book that you wrote, The Multi-Front War Defending America. Give us just a quickie on that one and where we can get that book.
Yes, well, when I was doing research after 9/11 on national security, I came to the conclusion, took 10 years, but I came to the conclusion roughly 15 years ago that America was at existential risk, not just risk, existential risk for America in all of Western civilization, all democracies, in terms of religions, Jews, Hindus, and Christians. And so then I put my thoughts together and wrote a book 5 years ago, 4 years ago, called The Multi-Front War, and I identified 100 challenges that America
had. We got to run. You hear that music. I'm sorry. How do we find that book? And how to find you?
SaveTheWest.com. SaveTheWest.com.
Okay, and don't forget, it's Kenneth Abramowitz, Abramowitz. Thank you so much for joining us, Ken. We always appreciate your time. We're going to be right back with more of The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
With so much noise in the wellness world, it can be tough to find what works best for you. Sports dietitian Dawn Jackson-Blattner wants to empower every body to feel their best, starting with simple nutrition and fitness tips.
As someone who's passionate about Pilates and nourishing my body, I love fueling my workouts with wholesome foods. That's why I'm excited to partner with Eggland's Best and Club Pilates to share expert tips and recipes to support your active lifestyle this National Nutrition Month. I created 2 make-ahead recipes to power up and recover from Pilates classes. Perfect for busy weeks, my Golden Milk Fitness Muffins and Tortilla Quiche are made with Eggland's Best eggs, which have 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E compared to ordinary eggs. Fans can also enter the Eggland's Best for Everybody sweepstakes, no purchase necessary, from now through April 30th for a chance to win a grand prize of $5,000 and a year-long Club Pilates Unlimited package. Your wellness journey starts here.
Go to ebfamilysweeps.com for more.
The AI craze hasn't always been good for freelancers, as some AI tools exploit human creativity without proper credit or compensation. Fiverr's Matt Clunan has more.
Since the rise of generative AI, creatives have been worried about losing their income to AI tools. But Fiverr's changing that dynamic so that freelancers can feel empowered with AI and have it work for them. This also provides businesses with even more access to talent and their work instantly.
So it's really a win-win combination. Fiverr's new AI platform gives freelancers control of their own work, ensuring AI serves freelancers rather than replacing them.
Freelancers are the backbone of today's economy and Fiverr's success, and their work should be valued. With Fiverr Go, creators can now train their own personal AI models with their own portfolio to produce work in their unique style at scale for businesses of all sizes. Freelancers set their prices and retain all creative rights.
To learn more about Fiverr Go, visit Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we have with us somebody who's our go-to guy often. We have a really broad range of guests, but our next guest is just terrific on issues of the climate agenda. He's a geologist and the executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. He is a best-selling author of A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. Gregory Wrightstone joins us right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Greg. Good to have you along.
Oh, good to be back on with you again. And boy, there's, it feels like the last couple of decades, when we're talking about the truth about climate change, we've been facing some pretty severe headwinds. But now, boy, it feels like the we've got the wind at our back, and it might be gale force winds pushing us forward.
What a wonderful climate analogy that is. I love it. Boy, it does seem like the political climate has had a drastic change. And I don't know about you, but it feels like my birthday every day. So
yeah,
I'm loving
something
it.
Different.
Yeah. In fact, in preparation of talking to you, because you've been talking about being pro CO2 for the longest time, and I think it is long past time that we used the same analogy, since the left has given us all these words that we're supposed to use. I think I can legitimately call you that other people are finally coming out of the closet against climate change, but you've been openly pro CO2 for a very long time. You were never in the closet about it. And now people are willing to come forward and say, I never thought that that made a bit of sense. Talk about that and how the climate feels to you now as you're suddenly being listened to when before you were being ignored.
We're still bottled up and censored and silenced by the mainstream media, but we're seeing, boy, just every place I look, I'm seeing that more and more people are open to this idea of positive benefits of warming. It's a combination of warming and more CO2. And we look at it, my new book, A Very Convenient Warming, I explore. In my first book, I talked a lot about how there is no climate crisis, and that's certainly true. But we've gone beyond that now to say that not only is there not a climate crisis, but that we see, looking by almost every metric we look at, we're seeing that Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and humanity is benefiting from modest warming and more CO2, and that's a good thing. And it's you're right. We've been preaching that. I've been preaching it. The CO2 Coalition has been preaching it. And now we've got nearly 200 of the top experts in the world that are part of our growing group.
I know that you're a scientist and you deal in facts and you talk about this from a very scientific perspective. But what a lot of people are now having the courage to talk about, and I don't know to what extent you do, is the absolute scam that the current president is willing to call it, the Green New Scam. And people are realizing, in light of all the other scams that are coming forward, and we've just, believe it or not, touched the tip of the iceberg of the kind of scams that have been used to buy influence, to raid the treasury, to fear-monger everyday citizens, bully them into agreeing with stuff. How much, to what extent do you talk about that? And are you seeing, again, people who are into conformity and who don't want to stand up against the crowd are suddenly feeling free to talk about these things and realize that this was a scam?
Well, it is true. I do speak loudly about the lies that we're being told. You're being lied to on a daily basis about climate change. And we saw this changing in the public perception, or I did. It was really during COVID that people had the blinders pulled off and opened. They became aware that sometimes the experts are wrong, and sometimes, and maybe often, the experts are.
You broke up there. What about the experts? I was waiting for you to say the experts have been bought. What did you say?
I did say that the experts. Well, that could be. We know that in the COVID business, certain individuals that were promoting the vaccines made a huge amount of money on it. And what we see here is that we've got those promoting the climate change scare of a climate crisis are just making money. They're getting windfalls of many millions, in some cases billions of dollars of funding, and it was coming straight from the government in some cases. Otherwise, others was coming from Soros and some other left wing groups. But they put an end to that. And if you look at Stacey Abrams, the huge amount of money she got,
unbelievable. Talk about that.
Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well,
but not.
It was a brand new nonprofit that she started, or they started last year. And last year, they only received $100 in funding. And I believe it was $20 million she received not that long ago. And it turns out she's admitted what they were doing was using that money just to buy things for people, dishwashers, washing machines.
I seem to remember a figure of $2 billion with a B that she was connected with. $2 billion.
Well, she got part
dollars.
Well, there was $20 billion that Lee Zeldin at EPA, he's the new EPA administrator, that clawed back $20 billion. They were just throwing money at these people with no good reason. Thankfully, we're getting some of that back. I think they've been able to stop a lot of that and get it back or freeze
Greg,
it.
I beg to differ in this one way, and I know we could talk about it longer, but we don't have much time. When money is being thrown at something, there is always something being gotten in return. And it's usually political influence. It's what I call the three Bs: bullying, bribery, or blackmail, or the combination of all three. I think it's fair at this point to suspect that, to speculate about it, and know that we need to go a lot deeper than just funky names for weird projects. What say you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to borrow that from you. What was it? Bullying?
The three Bs: bullying, bribery, or blackmail, or a combination of all three.
That.
That's what it buys. We've seen it. And look what they did with the media. They took our money to lie to us with. You know, preposition is a bad thing to end a sentence with. But they lied to us with our own money. And then said, this is for your own good.
Boy. Yeah, and you might be surprised. You know, I'm pro-choice when it comes to choices of what kind of energy to use and what kind of appliances to buy. In fact, I'm proudly pro-choice because your listeners should have the opportunity to heat their home as hot as they want or cool it as cool as they want in the summer.
How That's radical. Option. Greg Wrightstone, how do people find you, follow you at the CO2 Coalition?
CO2Coalition.org, or go buy my new book, just search for convenient warming, those two words.
It seems a lot more sensible than a convenient lie. Thank you, Greg, for joining us. We always love having you on the air. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a very special guest. I'll tell you about him when we get back.
A recent J.P. Morgan study found that most participants with a plan say their financial situation has improved in the last 5 years. Their financial health is good, and they talk to their kids about money. Mike Arov, Divisional Director at J.P. Morgan Wealth Management, will explain more.
The good news is that it's always the right time to start planning and investing for the future. Think about what you want to accomplish in 6 months, or maybe the next year, or even longer. One way to help make that happen is by having a plan and working with a financial advisor. At J.P. Morgan Wealth Management, you could do this when, where, and how is best for you. That could be remotely from your home, in person at a Chase branch, or you could also invest on your own in the Chase mobile app and on Chase.com. We can help you identify your goals and keep you on track. Learn more about how to plan and invest for your financial goals at jpmorganwealthmanagement.com.
J.P. Morgan Wealth Management is a business of J.P. Morgan Securities, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC. For older adults, the path to wellness evolves with age, bringing changes in physical health, social connections, and mental well-being. An expert in geriatric care from Humana says having a primary care physician who knows you and understands your health history can make a big difference in your quality of life. Dr. Robert Zorowitz, who works in health services for Humana, explains.
Visiting your primary care provider regularly is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy longer. Having a long-standing relationship with a doctor who knows you helps them understand what's important to you. Consistent visits allow your doctor to monitor your health over time. This makes it easier to detect patterns, address concerns quickly, and help prevent minor issues from becoming more serious problems. Your primary care provider can help make sure you receive the right screenings and preventive care to address your health holistically.
Your insurance carrier can help you navigate your care. Call the number on the back of your insurance card to find a doctor in your network.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who's on assignment. And one of the great joys I have of being a talk radio host is I get to request people that I either know, admire, and or both. And our next guest fits that completely. He is former Congressman Tom Tancredo. I know how to say his name. Tom Tancredo. And he was a congressman for 10 years, was appointed by President Reagan and reappointed again by President Bush as Secretary of Education, regional representative. He's also the founder of the Rocky Mountain Foundation, a contributor to WorldNet Daily. In addition, he ran for the Republican presidential nomination for governor of Colorado, but his claim to fame is that he was talking about illegal immigration, among other things, before anyone else was on a national level. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, Congressman Tom Tancredo.
Hey, good morning, Ken. How are you doing?
It is great to have you. And this time in history, number one, we saw the most astonishing example and ramifications of a completely open border for the last 4 years. And now we're seeing the exact reverse, in which we virtually closed the border down. And the issue that you were warning people about, you were like Paul Revere warning people about illegal immigration, and now it's the hottest issue there is. Just your general thoughts before we get into some details.
Okay, well, sure, it was, you know, I went into Congress in 1998, and I did so honestly thinking that I was going to have a fairly easy time in explaining and convincing many of my colleagues, especially in the Republican Party, that we had a major problem on our hands. And in fact, I think I wrote a book shortly thereafter called In Mortal Danger. And I really believe that the issue places us in that situation, because it is honestly the most significant, I think, domestic policy issue with which we can deal. It affects everything in our society and in our community. It was amazing to me that when I got there to Congress, not only were most of my colleagues unwilling to listen, none of them were. I mean, it was astounding to me. I really was so naive about it. And I can remember anecdotally I'd only been there a short time, and I found out that on our Wednesday caucus, the Republicans meet on Wednesday morning, or did, and the Democrats do the same, in hiding from each other and figure out how to plot and scheme and what they're going to do for the rest of the week and the upcoming weeks. And but if there's time at the end, the caucus chair would allow members to come get up and talk for a few minutes about their little piece of heaven, you know, the thing that really was important to them. Uh-huh. And so I'd ask, and they never had time. But finally, the caucus chair was gone and the assistant was there and said, okay. Uh-huh. I had a videotape, old VCR, and it was a night vision camera view of Oregon Pipe National Park, Oregon Pipe Cactus National Park, and down right on the border in Arizona. And it simply was a night vision camera, no sound. All you saw was around midnight or so, you saw this fire-looking thing. It looked like there was a ring of fire around the park. And it wasn't fire. It was human. There were human beings, the heat emanating off of human beings in the night and waiting to come in. And at a certain point, the thing is sort of, it shows the fire, you know, getting up and starting to move into the campground and move through. And now you're seeing people, one guy in the front carrying a machine gun or an automatic weapon,
followed by a lot of other people carrying drugs. Behind them, another guy without. And this went on for about 10 or 15 minutes. Just these people meandering through all by the people who were, you know, camping there. I always thought, I wonder if anybody gets up and looks out and says, hey, Martha, look over there. Look what's coming. Anyway, that's all it was. And it lasted for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes.
And what was the reaction of the people once you showed that film?
There were about 200 or so that were there at the beginning, a little over. At the end, there were 4. And everybody that had left walked out and said nasty things, by the way, going out. It wasn't just, I'll have to go now, you know, what the hell are you doing? It was, and that was the first introduction I had to, and that they had to the subject. No one would talk about it.
So let's cut to the chase on this part of it and ask, now that we fast forward and it took, 25 years or more for this issue to come to a boiling point. It took a President Donald Trump to talk about build the wall for 10 years, whatever it may be. What have you concluded about at least the Republican side of the aisle that has been so... There's lots of speculation as to why you got the kind of reaction you got. But we found out it's a lot deeper than people thought. What do you think it was now, looking back, hindsight 2020?
Oh, I can tell you exactly what it was when I was there and what prevented them from doing anything. And it's called the leadership. And there is a huge amount of money that is contributed every year by major businesses and corporations. You can't do it directly to individuals. So what they do, I mean, there's a limit, you know, for individuals running for Congress, and you can't take money from corporations. But there's an exception for if you want to contribute to what's called leadership PACs. And so the leadership collects millions and millions of dollars from and through the Chamber of Commerce. And they are based on those contributions are based on a lot of things, including a constant flow of cheap labor. And so that was what made the Republicans react the way they did. Even if they were, and people would come up to me and say, "Oh, you know, Tom, you're right. I know that's true. I know we've got a problem, but I can't help you on this. This is, you know, the leadership will kill me." And they'll stop giving me money, because then what the leadership does with the money, by the way, is they provide it to members. And you do so, and you can do it directly, or you can do it through coming and doing fundraising.
Forgive me, but I think there's a name for that. It's called KB, kickbacks. Kickbacks.
Of course, that's what it is. Well, you know, and they would think of it, they would say, well, you know, a lot of people contribute. Teachers union contributes millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to Democrats.
Right.
That same thing. They know that they can control a lot of what happens in Congress as a result of it. Follow the anytime. I don't care what the issue is. Anytime, Karen, that you cannot figure out why something is happening, it doesn't seem right. This doesn't fit. A majority of Americans, I know, felt as I did about the issue. And I used to tell my colleagues all the time, what are you worried about?
Follow the money.
People are on our side.
Yeah.
Whenever you can't figure it out, what's the reaction everybody should have? That is follow the money.
But Tom, with your Italian heritage, and I mean no disrespect, because I talk to several Italian people all the time, you don't just stop with follow the money. You got to use that old Italian phrase from the mafia, cui bono,
who benefits
from the money. Who benefited from all of this, and what were they really trying to accomplish?
Well, there were two different things.
Yes.
Two different. One was the money that came on the Republican side. That was mostly it. Mm. On the Democrat side, it was absolutely a phenomena that they wanted to continue in order. Well, they wanted, some of them wanted the country to change. They wanted to change our culture. our political persuasion or the political leanings in the country.
Yes, and absolutely.
That is why, and Democrats looked at those millions of people coming across illegally as undocumented Democrats.
New voters. And Rush Limbaugh used to say they wanted a new political underclass because they were running out. Tom Tancredo has graciously agreed to stay with us because we're just getting started. We're going to be back with the congressman right after this. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. When we get back, we will touch on education, which is another great topics of the congressman, but also we have a few other things to say about immigration. When we get back on the Main Street Radio Network, stay tuned.
It's National Nutrition Month, and I have tips to help you make healthier, more informed choices. The Dietary Guidelines for Americans states that 95% of kids and adults do not meet the daily fiber recommendation, and Begin Health Daily Growing Up Prebiotics is a great, gentle, clean, and kid-friendly option to help fill in the gaps. My next recommendation is to enjoy more fish. With Morey's, enjoying premium, better-for-you seafood has never been easier. And for a dietitian-approved beverage option, I love the Planet Oat Unsweetened Oat Milk. Royal Jelly is a nutritional powerhouse. It supports cognitive function, and when combined with 500 milligrams of Cognizin citicoline, which is clinically researched to support memory, focus, and attention. Look for Cognizin on the label, and you can learn more about Cognizin at Cognizin.com. Whether your focus is heart health, brain function, metabolism, energy, or beauty, there's a doctor-formulated multi-plus multivitamin from Garden of Life for you. For more, visit NutritionByMia.com.
I'm raising three picky eaters, and that is why I'm excited to team up with CPAC, America's number one frozen shrimp brand. They teamed up with Talker Research to do a comprehensive survey about our picky eaters. They surveyed 2,000 parents across the country, and here's the key findings. Dinner time is our most problematic meal. Five-year-olds are the pickiest, and 44% of parents are concerned that this pickiness is affecting our kids' overall nutrition. But put seafood on the menu. That's a simple solution because 32% of kids don't say no to shrimp. That's why I stock my freezer with CPAC. I've got shrimp scampi in the freezer that I can saute up and have a dinner winner on the table in minutes. Or I turn to my air fryer, the king of convenience. When you get kids involved in that meal planning and meal prep, they're absolutely more likely to eat. And go to CPAC.com to find out more and start your own seafood journey.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep, for naps and at night, to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True, but now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today, who's on assignment. And we're blessed to have a second segment with former Congressman Tom Tancredo, Republican from Colorado's 6th District, and he served for 10 years. And he was a visionary when it came both to illegal immigration and education. Thanks for staying with us, Tom. We really, really appreciate it.
Sure. Happy to do so.
Yeah, it's hard because our segments are so short, but I want to continue this conversation about immigration. You also were a history teacher. I know that, and we'll hopefully get to that. I know that you became a congressman on a dare from your high school history students, who you ended up becoming a state representative and then congressman. So you have a lot to say about education as well. We'll make sure everybody knows where to find your work, and you're still active. Thank God. We love that. But you're a proponent of something called E-Verify. Never has there been a more opportune time to put this into practice. Tell everybody what it is and how they can talk to their congresspeople and others about putting that into effect.
It's a program that was started by the federal government some time ago, and where voluntarily a business can go online, play inputting the social security number of the person wanting a job there. They can determine whether that person has a good social security number or not. And that, to a large extent, would identify someone who is perhaps here illegally. And then the business can say, I'm sorry, but, you know, I put this, we put it in and it came back that you don't have a valid social security number. I can't hire you. Go fix it. It may be something, it may be a glitch or that you can deal with, maybe a transposed number, but you fix it, come back, and we're fine. Now, that has been around for a while. Some businesses use it. And many do not, of course. And the reason they do not is because they know that they are hiring people who are here illegally. Now, if we could pass a mandatory E-Verify and then enforce it, it's the other side, just passing it means nothing, so that you could find somebody for hiring people after they have used this and found a person to be did not have a good social security number, they could be fined. And after a while, if you keep doing it, you could probably go to jail. So you have to do something that stops the magnet, you know, that draws so many people here. Now, and the thing is, even if you're here then and you can't get what you came for, the chances are very good after a while that you go back to where you came from.
You'll self-deport, right?
Yeah. And so in doing that, you would relieve so much pressure on the border in terms of trying to, you know, I mean, we wouldn't have to have a large contingent of military on the border to aid Border Patrol, because the numbers would simply be reduced by themselves. Now, you got to make sure you also You can't give them welfare. You can't do all of the things that these NGOs are doing today, and these governors and mayors who are running sanctuary states.
Yeah.
All of those things are illegal, Karen. They're against the law. Against the law for years. It's called aiding and abetting. You can't do it. There's an actual law against doing that for illegal immigrants.
How about that? And for the first time, did you ever think in a million years you would see a hearing in Congress holding these so-called sanctuary city mayors accountable, like the one from New York? Well, actually, New York is a little bit better. Mike Johnston from Denver, the place has gotten so far out of hand that people have been bullied into being illegal, into doing illegal things by harboring illegals. What about the cops who in so many cities, Tom, they can't even ask when they pull somebody over if they're legal in this country? Is that insane or what?
It is totally insane. And so a lot of them will give you, a lot of the politicians will give you numbers saying, well, in my city, we don't have any. We brought it down to almost nothing of illegal. Well, there's a reason, just because they don't report it. They won't tell anybody. And so you can't even count the number of illegals that are arrested, let's say, which is, of course, what they're supposed to be able to count. And even be reimbursed by the federal government for housing them in their cells. It's absolutely amazing. And again, follow the money. So much of this is, in fact, as a result of corrupt practices. I can't tell you. And of course, the desire to stay in power in these cities and the NGOs. It's a money issue. Believe me. You know, Catholic charities,
yes.
billions of dollars.
A lot of bribery going on. And I think now, Tom, the public has finally started to see what's actually going on. And with our minute left, where can we follow you, find you, because you're still writing for WorldNet Daily, because finally you've come to see that people are seeing what you saw 25 years ago, and they're understanding it now. They get it now.
Yeah, it is. I have to tell you, it is a pretty good feeling.
It's gratifying, you know, right?
It is gratifying. That is absolutely true. And you know, like... Ronald Reagan had a little thing on his desk that said, you can do a lot of things if you don't care who gets the credit. And
yes.
It's absolutely true. And I don't care. I believe.
But you deserve the credit for being one of the first ever and taking the heat. I'll never forget it. I don't think a lot of people will ever forget how much courage
it
took.
God bless you.
Yeah. You know, that you stood up for something that was so unpopular. That same quality. We got to have you back, because that same quality is what it took for people to stand up when they saw what public school education was teaching their kids during COVID. It goes on and on. It requires courage. How can people find you and follow you real quick?
Tom Tancredo at Facebook. Don't forget it.
Beautiful. Tom Tancredo, Godspeed. We love you. I love you. Take care. Hope to talk to you again. Well, we're going to take a quick break and do a whole nother hour of the Al and Nathan Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.